Hey, Dog Speak Geeks, do you know that we offer virtual lessons? You can sign up at any time through info@dogspeak101.com. Also, don't miss out on our dog communication seminar on demand or one of our live seminars in Middle Tennessee. We would love to assist you with any and all problems that you have, so give us a call, set up your session today. Dog Speak Geeks, I hope you're having a wonderful week. I hope you're enjoying spring weather wherever you are. For those in other parts of the world, I'm sorry that you're getting colder weather. Unless you've had a really, really hot summer, and then congratulations. I decided that I'm not as big of a fan of heat as I used to be. I always thought, well, actually, I take that back. I was always told that the older you get, the less you handle heat. And I thought, I'm never going to be that person. Well, It was like 86, and I was like, it's just too hot. And we're going to be going out of town somewhere that's like 88, 89 degrees today. And I'm like, I don't even know if I want to go. That sounds hot. So I don't know what's going on. I do know, though, that with our dogs, they need to learn how to adjust to the weather just like you. If they live in an air-conditioned house, it's going to be much more challenging to get out in the heat. So to say, hey, my dog should be fine in the heat, he's a dog, it's all about what your body is used to. It's just like when northerners come to the south, it might be 30 degrees here and we're freezing our butts off, but people up north, they're wearing shorts when they're here because it's just not that cold compared to what they're used to. So real similar to dogs. So just think about that as your weather is getting warmer or colder, whatever that opposite is. Just remember that your dog also has to acclimate just like you do. And sometimes they do run a lot hotter. But that is my public service announcement for today. I don't have any other announcements right now. I will have some coming up in the next couple of weeks. I am not putting anything out next week. So just so you know, I am going on vacation. I am taking a break. So I will not be putting out an episode next week. We'll be taking that off. But then I will have one the following week. So stay tuned for that. And before I get into the episode, just as a reminder, I really appreciate it if you could rate and review wherever you get this podcast. It really does help new people to find us, and it helps me to reach more people, more dogs. That means I can help more. And that is really what I want to do, is make sure that I'm educating to the masses. So please spread this out. It really does help me out, and I appreciate it so very much. That way I can continue to put out this content on a regular basis because it is time consuming. And I want to make sure I'm reaching the people that I need to reach. All right, so last week we got into the five domains of welfare, part one, where we talked about nutrition and physical health. We're going to probably get through the three today because I'd rather not have to wait and put it out in 2 weeks. So I'm going to get through the three today that are left, and that's going to be environment, behavioral interactions, and mental state. And as a reminder, if you did not listen to the episode, I really actually recommend that you go back and listen to that episode before you jump into this one, because I don't want to go back through all the discussion we had about animal welfare. I will just give you a brief. Animal welfare is about far more than meeting a dog's basic needs for food and shelter. True welfare considers how a dog experiences their life, right? Physically, emotionally, socially. So you want to make sure that when you're looking at your dog as their overall well-being and welfare, are we hitting these areas, and are we ensuring that our dog has all the support that they need in these areas? Are we giving them what they need in these areas? So with nutrition, I've talked so much about nutrition on this podcast. Again, can't express how important nutrition is. Physical health, I think that goes hand in hand, right? Nutrition. If you have good nutrition, you're likely going to have much better physical health. But if you are having poor nutrition, you're guaranteed to have poor physical health. And so good nutrition is important. Now, you can have good nutrition and you might have some physical health issues. such as like arthritis or like muscle issues. Maybe you got a muscle strain, something like that. So yes, physical issues can come with good gut health. But overall, if we have good gut health, the body is prepared to fight what it needs to fight, and the brain has what it needs to process the environment, regulate the emotions, create the right pathways, and overall just handle the environment in a much better way than just being reactive all over the place, right? We get a lot of calls about reactivity. And again, that starts with your nutrition and your physical health. So let's get into the domain three of animal welfare, of the five domains. The environment is really important, and I don't think a lot of people think about environment. I think that most people, when they think environment, we think about our house, our yard, whether your dog has a crate or a nice bed or a couch. Those are the things that we're mostly focused on. But not all environments are equal to every dog. If you have a dog who is sound sensitive, living in a home with screaming children is not good on their welfare. Those are kind of the things that we're going to be talking about, and I might piss somebody off on this, but honestly, I apologize. I don't mean to piss you off, but I need you to be educated in understanding what your dog needs. And it doesn't mean that the dog that's sound sensitive can't live in a home with children. It just means that we may need to be doing more to help that dog to be more comfortable in their environment. Right, if you've ever lived in an environment that was just absolutely nerve-wracking, stressful, and you had no way of escape, thinking about as a child, if you lived in a home as a child where it was not a peaceful home, it was unpredictable, it was often, sometimes scary, you had uncertainty of safety, whether that was just emotional, unfortunately physical, there's a lot of things that can be wrong in an environment for certain systems that they just don't match. And I don't think we talk about environment enough. It's like when we get calls about someone with a Great Pyrenees and they live in a neighborhood that has 40 children on their street and they all happen to play in the cul-de-sac that this house sits on, and then they want to complain that their Great Pyrenees is barking all the time. Well, that's because the environment is not appropriate for that dog, because that dog is a resource guarder, meaning it's a livestock guardian breed, so it is bred to guard its resources, which is the territory and the home, and its job is to alert when there are potential threats near the resources. And so, yeah, you're going to get a barking dog. No, I'm not going to stop that dog from barking. I'm not going to put a shock collar on that dog or put pain and a bark collar on that dog to stop it from barking, because that environment is very challenging for that dog. I think that when we are looking at getting dogs for our family, we really need to take in our environment before we choose which dog we want to bring into the family. Let's break down the environment a little bit more. So the dog's environment includes their physical surroundings, such as living space, temperature, noise levels, opportunities for rest, right? All of these will contribute to safety and predictability. Temperature, we were talking about just a minute ago, having an Alaskan Malamute living in my state of Tennessee, where it literally feels like hell in the summertime because it's so hot, this is not an appropriate environment for that type of dog. A dog that was made to be in the cold. And so that is just, I know they're pretty and they're lovely dogs, but there are some environments that are just not appropriate for them. So consider a dog living in a busy household with constant noise, visitors, little opportunity to retreat, right? Even with adequate exercise, this dog may remain overstimulated on the regular basis, right? Maybe it's constantly pacing. There's excessive barking. difficulty just like laying down and watching TV with you, right? People say, I just want him to lay down and watch TV with me. Well, he may not have the nervous system to be able to do it if we're not giving him opportunities to rest. We must provide a dog with a quiet resting space, some predictable routines, and obviously that enrichment to remind them that they're dogs and to help them tap into those genetics. Otherwise, they're going to get very frustrated. They're going to be unsure of the environment or how to navigate the environment. All right, we think we'll just put them in a nice home with a nice backyard, a nice couch, and they're going to be good to go. But unfortunately, that's just not the case. I wish it was. You know, let's talk about Myers. I talk about Myers all the time. Myers is a great dog. He is one of the best dogs off leash. I can take him out, do whatever. He's great. He loves the neighbors. He loves the kids next door. He's just a good boy. However, my environment can be really loud for him, especially during like sports season. It's softball season. I love softball. I scream a lot during softball, not out of anger, out of excitement. Like I thoroughly get excited in softball, whether it's a really good defensive play or a good hit, a home run, whatever. I'm excited. It just comes out. And at first, that was very difficult for him. He was, you know, 1 second be resting, and the next second, I'm screaming and he's freaking out. And that created some unpredictability that caused him some stress. Now, he already had some issues coming in. I'm not going to go into those here. I've talked about him on the pod before. I'm also with the new upcoming book. I have him in there as one of my case studies. So you can get the book and read all about the things that we did with him. But now that we've gotten his system more regulated and there's more predictability, he's much better. He now just goes and hangs out in the room. Or it's funny, when I get really excited, sometimes he now comes out to see me. Like he was in the house over the weekend. I was out on my back deck watching the game. And when I would scream about something, he would come running out there to be like, hey, what's happening? So it was a little different for him. But I did have to adjust for a little while to help him feel a little bit more secure. So the environment is important. So I want you to think about, what does your dog struggle with? And what could be the problem in the environment? Could there be a problem in the environment? If your dog is sound sensitive, don't have his bed near the ice machine. If your dog is sound sensitive, don't put his bed near the modem that's making a constant humming sound. If your dog is sound sensitive, don't set him up where, you know, the Ring doorbell is going off all the time and he has to listen to that. We have to think about these things. If your dog has a dysregulated nervous system, their environment's going to affect them a lot because that's where they are the majority of the time, in their environment. We must create safety in that environment. And of course, you know what I'm going to say, create your spa room. Create that spa room, give them a place to go where it's quiet, it's predictable, and they can just rest and relax. A supportive environment really does help regulate the nervous system, and it will lay the foundation for learning and for balancing all of those emotions that your dog may be struggling with. And if you have children in your home, you're going to have to talk to them as well. Right. If the children share a home with the dog isn't the only one that needs to have rules. Your children need to have rules. Your children need to know when it's appropriate to run through the house screaming, when it's not appropriate. Right. They need to also have some ground rules on how to act in the home with the dog. You all share a space. Right. So, and your dog doesn't have a choice. And frankly, neither do your children. Right. They're all stuck in the house together. You have to learn to work together and compromise. Okay, compromise, very important. Domain four, behavioral interactions. Dogs are social beings, right? They need an opportunity to express those natural behaviors, engage in meaningful interactions with their own species. Not just with humans, but with their own species. And if they don't have if they don't have that opportunity, you're going to see a dog who has a dysregulated nervous system. They're going to have some unmet needs that are going to affect the rest of the dog. You know, a dog who is only around people are going to forget how to use their own communication. And they use part of their communication to help calm themselves. And so we need to make sure they're having opportunities to practice that. Your dog doesn't need 48 friends, but your dog needs a couple of friends that he can trust, that he can interact with, that he can play with, that he can do things, that they can social groom, they can, you know, seek out odors together or hunt together, you know, whichever way you kind of set that up for fun. But another thing is that they shouldn't have to interact with people and dogs that they don't feel comfortable with. Forcing them to be petted on by strangers, forcing them to interact with people they're not comfortable with is inappropriate. You know, a dog repeatedly forced to greet strangers or other dogs, despite showing signs of discomfort, they may begin to growl and snarl, snap, or really just shut down. They'll get to the point where they just feel like every dog, every person is a negative, therefore I'm going to create this emotion of negativity. And now you're calling because the dog is reactive or showing aggressive behavior. You know, another situation is if your dog never gets a chance to make their own decisions. They don't have agency over what they're doing, you know, getting to sniff freely or hunting in a safe way. And I say hunting, maybe they're just sniffing out, you know, moles. You'll get a dog who gets really frustrated, and that frustration is going to damage your relationship. It's going to create some behaviors that you don't necessarily want. It's going to create those behaviors as pulling, lunging, your typical frustration behaviors. And if you think, well, what are those frustrating behaviors that I'm going to see? Think about what behaviors you exhibit when you're frustrated, because that could absolutely be similar in what how your dog is going to be showing things. Maybe you yell, they bark. Maybe you throw things, they lunge, or they pull. We have to start giving our dogs a little bit more agency, opportunities to do things that they want to do, not forcing them into situations. Choice. Choice is important. Which direction do you want to walk? Do you even want to walk today? Or would you rather just hang out in the backyard? Do you want to play fetch? Do you want to play frisbee? Would you rather I set up some nose work games? Would you rather just sniff around instead of chasing something? Do you want to chase instead of wrestle? Maybe we wrestle today. No, you don't want to wrestle? Okay, what do you want to do? Instead of having this thought of this is how I want my dog to play, have you ever just stopped and said, hey, I wonder how my dog wants to play? It makes such a huge difference when you start considering the choices that your dog would make and giving them those choices. Choosing to interact with a dog, choice to interact with you, choice to interact with the guest, choice to either play ball or tug, choice to eat this bone or chew on this bone. Sometimes it's just the small things that we can do to give our dogs the opportunities to make decisions. And that can make a huge difference. When we feel like we have control, we're automatically going to have a reduction in nervous system activation. Think about it. When you don't have control, that's when your nervous system gets dysregulated. You don't even have to be a controlling person to have that issue. If you feel out of control, your nervous system is going to absolutely get into fight or flight. If your dog feels like they're just a bump on a log until someone tells them what to do, we're going to have some issues. So little things to help your dog make choices, remember who they are, and keep their system regulated. This is not training advice. This is absolute of what dogs need in order to feel, I don't want to say normal, But I keep using the word regulated to feel regulated. Because again, remember, as I said, they are captive animals. We have them in captivity. We control what they do. So again, when we can give them that opportunity to make decisions, it's much, much better. And remember, when you are working with your dog, teaching manners, real life skills, don't force the dog to work with you. I never force a dog to work with me. If my dog doesn't want to work with me and learn a new skill or work on a skill, I just either change to another skill or I just put it off until another time. I'm not going to make my dog train with me if they're not in the right state of mind to do so. And if it happens on a regular basis, then I have to start questioning my relationship or my reinforcement, maybe my lack of reinforcement, or maybe I'm not using the right things for reinforcement. All right, don't think your dog's just going to work for you because you're the human. No, we want to make sure that our dogs understand it's a partnership. And what they give you, that attention, that focus, yeah, that's reinforcement for you and your behavior. You giving them your attention, your focus, petting, food, toys, interaction, that's their reinforcement. So it's a give and take. You probably don't like it when your dog comes and demands your attention. I hear that a lot. My dog is so demanding. He's barking at me. He paws at me. He puts his nose under my arm and he forces me to pet him. He's so demanding. Well, are you demanding? Do you demand that he do things for you? Do you demand he sits before he gets fed? Do you demand he sits before he goes out the door? Do you demand he comes and lays down on the couch with you while you're watching a movie? Number 5, mental state, which honestly, the 4 things prior will absolutely play into the mental state. The mental state domain reflects the emotional experiences basically created by the other 4 domains, right? So if the other 4 domains are good, then the mental state's going to be good. If we're lacking in one of the previous 4, then we may have a little issue in our mental state. Your mental state, you're fighting your mental state on a regular, and where your mental state is, it's probably going to be similar to where your dog's is, because we're going to mirror each other. And that mental state, those feelings, these don't just include happiness and joy, but curiosity, contentment, but also fear, frustration, and the so important safety. And I truly think if we break everything down, a lot of it comes down to safety. Feeling safe. When you feel safe, you just do better. When you feel safe, you're able to focus, you're able to be responsive, you're able to learn new things, you're able to rest and relax, complete the stress cycle. If you don't feel safe, then your nervous system is in constant fight or flight. If you have a dog who suffers from physical pain, and I unfortunately see this a lot, where people call me, they have a dog who's exhibiting aggressive behavior, they've been to the vet, but the vet found nothing, and then I come in and I see a few things, and I get them on a different path to see what's going on physically, and sure enough, we have physical issues that's causing discomfort, which is in turn causing reactivity, frustration, and aggressive behavior. So we have to make sure we're treating any physical pain. We have to ensure that the environment is safe. And I'm not, and here's another thing. If you have a dog who suffers from, let's say, arthritis or weak limbs, okay? If you have a dog who has weak limbs and their back legs are weak, or maybe their hips are weak, and you have hardwood floors with no real carpet, maybe you have a rug here or there, but every path your dog has to walk is a slippery floor. Imagine the stress that dog feels having to walk across a slippery floor with weak limbs, with no grip, with no support. That dog is going to adjust the way they walk, which means that they're going to be putting more strain on other parts of the body that are not prepared, which then means that becomes painful. Over time, the dog is not feeling good, has some discomfort, is frustrated having to walk across the floors, and next thing you know, we're having behavior issues. Barking at the door constantly, pissed when the grandkids come over, wants to retreat to the bedroom where he used to love the grandkids. And so a trainer wants to come in and create positive associations with the grandkids. When in reality, what we really need to do is just put some runners down on the floor or get him some no-slip shoes to where he can walk across the floor in a safe way so that he feels safe. Many of the behavior problems that we see, they're coming from a different reason other than just being a behavior problem. I mean, there are a lot of reasons why we don't, you know, want to be around the grandkids anymore. They can be unpredictable. Maybe they've been disrespectful. Nobody saw it. Maybe they're just too loud. Maybe the dog's just having an off day. But if it's a consistent issue, we need to look a little bit deeper. And your dog doesn't even have to be old to have this issue. One slip on the floor can create an injury that you don't necessarily notice, but over time, because we've not given the dog rest, we've asked him to chase the ball, which he's going to do even if he's hurting. He's going to chase the ball. And then it just builds off of that. Then we take him to the vet. The doctor manipulates her leg and says, well, he didn't even flinch, so I guess he's fine. When truly it might need a deeper dive. Take everything your dog gives you as information. Information that he's either doing well or information that he's not doing well, right? Information should tell you, is the dog moving in an upward motion of positivity? Is he staying neutral or is he going in the direction of negativity? That's a good way to look at each behavior that you get. So what do we do with all of this? Well, we break it down and we say, okay, if we can get the first four, then our fifth is probably going to be okay. So how do we get the first four? Well, with our nutrition, we make sure that our dog is eating the right thing. It might be the most expensive food, but we've got to make sure that the ingredients that are in that recipe are good for your dog's system. The five strands test is what I'm recommending. They have dog food ingredients, which they're going to cover, like your freeze-dried foods, your powders, but they also have a fresh food. So you can, if you're feeding a raw diet or if you want to know what your dog has an issue with when it comes to fresh food, then you could do that one. Right now, I think it's like $73 or something for a test, because there are some dogs that have problems with freeze-dried chicken, but they don't have problems with fresh chicken. So sometimes it's worth it to do a couple of those tests to see what your dog is having issues with. Getting them on the right ingredients. So maybe we shouldn't even talk about the right food, but the right recipe. The right recipe that's going to not cause inflammation in the system. It's going to create a healthy gut so that we can have a good gut-brain axis, that pathway's open, and all that information is flowing from the gut to the brain to give the dog everything it needs to handle the environment. Physical health, right? We just talked about if you have a dog who's struggling in their house, right? Maybe you need to get them some no-slip rugs or some no-slip socks. They also have these toe grippers that you can get that can help. And again, it doesn't have to be an old dog. But physically watch your dog. Watch how they walk. Watch how they walk away from you. Watch how they walk towards you. Watch them when they lay down, when they stand up. Are they looking odd? Do they go slow? Does it look like they're favoring one side over the other? When you ask them to sit, do they sit in a way that looks healthy or do they sit by throwing a hip out because something hurts? We do not talk about physical health enough. Physical health can absolutely drive behavior. Think about it. When I don't feel good, oof, I can get grumpy. When I don't feel good, I can get grumpy. And I know you do too. Why? Because we just do. We don't feel good. We get grumpy. The environment. If you don't know the genetics of your dog, I highly recommend doing a DNA test to see what genetics your dog has. That can help explain a lot of the behavior you may see. But then I want you to look at your household and your environment and say, okay, what are the pros in my environment, right? What's positive for my dog for this environment, okay? What is possibly neutral? And then let's see, what could be negative in this environment? And is this negativity in the environment creating the issue with my dog not being able to regulate? Is this causing my dog some stress? And it may not be over the board stress where your dog is having a freak out and not being able to settle. It could just be that several times a day, the dog gets stressed out. Even though the dog may be resilient and can bounce back, we shouldn't be getting stressed that many times during the day, especially when you're at home in your safe space. That's where you're supposed to feel safe. You're supposed to be able to relax, decompress. So that spa room, very important. So if you do have a house full of kids, right, when they are the most excited, the loudest, the most obnoxious, the most unpredictable, put your dog in a spa room with something really special to chew on or some type of special frozen treat. Don't force them out and about with the kids that are already getting on your nerves and they've only been there for 5 minutes. Don't force your dog into situations and scenarios that they're not comfortable with. Do not force them to be petted by people. Don't be given strangers treats to give to your dog so that your dog thinks strangers are great. We don't want them to think strangers are great. We don't need them to think strangers are great. We need them to know how to act around strangers. We need to know that they need to know that you are the number one, that you're the most rewarding thing, not strangers. And that also not every stranger wants to say hi to them. If you have a really friendly dog, teaching them to ignore strangers is going to make your life so much easier. You can be well socialized and well exposed and still have manners to where you're not getting up in everyone's grill. Your dog can still be very well socialized, but not have to be petted by everyone sitting on the patio. That'll save a lot of problem right there of you know, people say, well, I'd love to take my dog to the bar, but man, he just wants to bark at everybody. He wants to see everybody. He wants everybody to pet him. Teach him that ignoring them is more rewarding, that you're the most rewarding. So stop giving people treats to give to your dog. I'm not saying they can't say hi and pet if you give permission. I give my dog permission to say hello. She has a choice at that point. She can either go say hello or she cannot. If she doesn't, I don't make her do it. I just say, well, hey, she doesn't want to. That's just that. My responsibility is my dog, not that stranger's feelings. My responsibility is my dog. So don't be forcing them into situations just in the name of exposure, in the name of socialization, in the name of training. No. Your dog may need a lot of exposure and activity. Your dog may be very, very social. But there are a lot of dogs that would rather just have a small group that they're good with and be content with that. But that is also very helpful, being able to take them out places and not feel like they're looking to everyone else except for you. And if you get all of that right, there's a good chance that your dog's mental state is good. Now, obviously, we do have to worry about things like generalized anxiety disorder, where everything could be working well in the environment, but your dog's mental state is still off. Sometimes it just means, you know, your dog may need a little support, supplements, pharmaceuticals, maybe some holistic care like acupuncture, acupressure, Chinese herbal therapy. Your dog may need a little support, and that's okay. It may be temporary. It may be long term. It just depends. We could be doing everything right, but the dog just may need a little bit of support, just a little. And I'm never against that. I will start more holistically, things like rescue remedy, L-theanine, CBD. I'll start with those things before recommending pharmaceuticals. But if your dog does need that, it's okay. I think that we need to not look at it in such a negative light, because if it can help our dog feel more comfortable and navigate their environment in a more safe, secure way, then why are we not doing it? And let me tell you something about the pharmaceuticals. We're not drugging your dog to where they're sedated. This is not what we're talking about. I can only imagine if I paused this and I looked up what the percentage of people on SSRIs are, I'm sure it would be really, really high. I myself, I'm on an SSRI. And I have tried to come off of it. But my brain is just lacking in something chemically that I need that extra support. So if I need that and I recognize that, I realize that sometimes there are dogs that need that too. They can't tell us that. I mean, unless you're Sandra and they can tell you that, but they probably don't understand medication. But I think that we need to ensure that we do everything that we can to help our dog feel the most comfortable and to be, you know, well-balanced, safe, secure, and have the opportunity to be who they are the best way they can in the environment that we put them in. So that's the five domains of welfare. And honestly, you could go so much deeper with this. There's some really good material you can read out there on the five domains. It's something that is not just with animals. This five domains is for any captive animal, right? So any animal in a zoo, any animal in a rehab facility, it's not just for dogs. This is the five domains of welfare for all animals, all creatures. If you've enjoyed this, please rate and review. Please share with friends, family, your dog groups, your meetup groups, your breed groups. And if you've not signed up for the newsletter, please do so. You're going to miss out on some good stuff. I still have that free offer that's out in the newsletter. You can find the newsletters, or you can find the sign up on the website, and you can get to the newsletter through our blog. And we can also email us, and we'll be happy to sign you up as well. That's what I got. This is going to be the last one for this month. My birthday is coming up. Britt's birthday is coming up. So we're going to take a little vacation, take a little time away. So we will be back in April. I will have another episode out the second week of April. So don't miss out on that. We're going to have Dr. North come back as well. We're going to be recording that the end of April. Going to have some really good conversations about holistic care. And you just never know what guest is coming next. Be sure that you are listening to some of the old episodes. There's some really good episodes, and there were some really great guests. And if you're not following on YouTube, please do so. And Sandra, with her podcast we did a couple of weeks ago, she's got a great channel as well. And she's put a couple of clips from our recording on there that instead of just listening, you can see our faces. See all the faces that I make when I'm chatting. And that's a reason why I don't record myself chatting to you guys here, because the faces that I make are something. But hey, you never know. I will have some things coming up. I'll probably get them scheduled here for May and June. Some online stuff, on-demand stuff, just to give you guys a little bit more material to help you become the best parent that you can to your dog, and to ensure that your dog is getting all their needs met through enrichment, meeting those genetic needs, being sure that they feel safe and secure, ensuring that they're physically feeling good, nutrition is good, and that their environment is set up to create positivity in their life and not cause any more stress than this world already gives. And that's what I got for you. I love you guys. Happy spring. Happy birthday to me. And I'm going to go ahead and say happy birthday to Reba. Reba's birthday is the 28th. And if you don't know who Reba is, I'm talking about Reba McEntire. She shouldn't even need a last name. The queen of all, Miss Reba. Her birthday's the day before mine because, you know, we are 20 years and a day apart. And she is my, as I was growing up, she was my idol. And been a fan since 1985. And excited that we don't share a birthday, but we are one day apart. I always say that it was just too much for God to make that much awesomeness in one day, even if it was 20 years apart. Oh, me. Anyway, I love you guys. I appreciate you. And as always, have a great rest of your week and love your neighbor.